On today's Church TechCast Q&A, Proclaim versus Planning Center, a mystery 15-pin cable, and a self-hosted Dropbox alternative. Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of the Church TechCast Q&A show. My name is, of course, Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host here. So I'd love for you to join the conversation. These shows are recorded every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. UTC when we're in the summertime, 4 p.m. during the wintertime. Craziness. I just wish we'd just all switch to UTC and quit changing times and all that craziness. I mean, you know, it's arbitrary that I'm doing this show at 11. Could be 1, could be 3. You know, whatever. Anyway, I will stop that and say that you can reach me either through my Twitter handle, which you'll see right under my face if you're watching the video, Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanCliff, or by going to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. And there you'll find all my contact information, including the voicemail number, 1-877-763-3246, or 1-877-POD-ECHO, same number. Or you can drop me a line, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, or leave a comment on that blog post. Any of those ways are absolutely cool with me, and I'm happy to take questions, comments, feedback, suggestions, etc. So, that's thing number one out of the way. Thing number two, let's talk real quick about my pastor's book. What life are you waiting for? Now, that's not a rhetorical question. It's actually the title of his book, which is all about pursuing your calling and your dreams, all about all the things that are holding you back. Now, it could be that you don't believe that you have a dream. It could be that you believe that you've sinned away your possibilities of living out this calling that God has for you. And first off, I'd challenge you to read the stories of King David, of Gideon, the mighty warrior who was so mighty that he was hiding. And just pay attention to all the people throughout the Bible that might have thought, oh, I can't do this. I'm just not able to. And it turns out they were wrong. So that is an example of the kind of stuff that you will read in this book. It's available for pre-order right now, published by Tyndale House, forwarded by Bill Hybels. And as I understand it, it's on sale right now on Amazon. So go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlife or whatlifebook. Either one should take you there. And that will take you to the link where you can put in your pre-order. And they won't charge you until the book actually ships at the end of April, early May, something like that. So that will save you a few bucks. If you feel so inclined, you could use any of the savings from pre-ordering What Life book and help me out with the show. This show costs money to make. Not only is it my time, which I'm doing this full-time, so there are times where things are very lean as I'm trying to figure out how to support what I do here, but basically it also pays for web page hosting, it pays for my media hosting through Libsyn, pays for the domain names that I own for this endeavor, along with several incidentals, and basically I'm coming up short by over $2,000 a month. I think I would say I'm coming up short by about $2,075 or so if you include the domain names and such. So it would really be helpful to me if you could just kick in a buck. If everyone that follows me on Twitter kicked in $1 a month, just a buck, $1 a month, the things that we could do are astounding. I would open up a studio instead of working out of a spare bedroom. I would hire additional staff, and we would put on probably 4 or 5 shows, bare minimum, every day. So there are a lot of possibilities out there if we're willing to lay hold of them and take this all to the next level. But it can't happen without your help. So head over to patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff, spelled just like my Twitter handle, patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. And if you do that, you can support the show. Any amount helps. And you don't have to feel obligated to do this, but know that it could help me if you did, and help make the network better and the shows better. And that's really all I want to do. So let's get started with your questions. First off, Joe Salino in the Church Tech group on Google+ says, can anyone comment on Proclaim versus Planning Center for small to medium churches? I'm a little confused by the question, because Proclaim is worship software like ProPresenter, MediaShout, Easy Worship, etc. Planning Center is unique, though. Planning Center is something that is created specifically to help churches plan their services. So one does one thing, one does the other. So it's kind of a bit like asking, okay, in our church office, should we use Excel or PowerPoint? Yes, you should use both, because they do totally different things. There might be some overlap, but basically, they do totally different things. So I don't understand the question fully, and I asked him for some clarification. So if he's just talking about the projection of lyrics, I don't think I'd think about Planning Center in that. If he was just talking about planning out the order, I don't think I'd think about Proclaim for that. So, yeah, just keep in mind what everything does before, as you're trying to figure out which thing you need. Okay, Rick Watson, same group, says, in the coming weeks, we will be sharing some interesting news changes in my professional life, but now I have a couple of questions. I have 4 classrooms that need to have the same source showing on each screen. This will be audio and video for the young kids to listen to some praise and worship music when they first get into the class. Does anyone have any insight on how to make this happen? I have a couple of ideas, but not quite sure they are technically feasible. From a church's perspective, where do you see the largest cybersecurity concerns? As a cybersecurity professional, I have my opinions and have started putting together some things to help address my concerns, but I wondered what others may think. Thanks for your time and guidance. Okay, the first one, for clarification's sake, I found out that he, in fact, doesn't have Cat5 running to any of the TVs, so that makes it difficult, but does have RG6 coax. So what I would do is I would send the video source through a distribution amplifier and then out to each of the TVs. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Now, you could add a... you'd probably want to RF modulate that, put it on, you know, channel 3 or whatever, so that they could just tune into that channel and then it would be the same on all the TVs. That's the simplest, easiest, least expensive way. Now, from a cybersecurity standpoint, I think the biggest problem that churches have isn't cybersecurity. It's being so backward that they don't have to worry about cybersecurity. With that said, I think that there should be a good firewall in place between the unencrypted public Wi-Fi at your church and what's available in the offices, so that it's not the case that someone could drive up to the church, get on the Wi-Fi, and then just look through whatever they want on the network that they have privileges to without even any hacking whatsoever. I think that that's important. I think that it's absolutely possible that churches could get hit with denial of services attacks on their websites. So it would be good to have a plan in place for an event like that. It's also possible that their websites could be hacked. And so I would also have a good plan in place for what happens if your website gets hacked and, you know, porn thrown up there or anything like that. So those are probably the first things that come to mind on that. Okay. Edgar Beltrand. Do any of you know what this cable is and where I can find it, if they still make it? So, what Edgar is asking about is a 15-pin cable, and you're probably immediately thinking it's a VGA cable, except it's 7 pins on one row, 8 pins on the other, 2 rows of pins. Not 3, like a VGA cable, 2. So we used this particular cable at my last corporate job, and what we used it for is we used an extension cable of it to move IR from one place to another between chassis of devices that did whole house audio video control. That's what we did with it. So I'm familiar with the cable. In fact, I used to get calls every day from people that goes, "Where can I get this? I'm on site. I want to finish this up today so I can get paid." So I know that it was in fact used as a VGA cable on some Macintoshes in the late 90s. It's actually a serial cable. So you're probably familiar, well, you may be familiar with the DB9 serial cable, which has 5 pins on one row, 4 pins on the other. Back in the old days, mice and keyboard or mouses and keyboards used that as the connector before PS2 even. So that was the DB9. This is a DB15 or a DA15, depending on who you talk to. And there are 3 flavors of it. There's an extension cable, male on one end, female on the other. There's a gender changer cable, which has either male on both ends or female on both ends. And then there is a null modem cable that might look like one of the previously mentioned ones, with either male on one end, female on the other, male on both ends, female on both ends. But while the first 3 are straight through, so pin 1 goes to pin 1, pin 2 goes to pin 2, etc. through 15, a null modem cable swaps some of the pairs. So I don't recall what pairs that it swaps on the DB15, but on the DB9, 2 goes to 3 and 3 goes to 2, for example. So you need to find out what kind you have, whether it's a straight through or a null modem. You can order them on Amazon. You can order them on probably Parts Express, several other places. I don't think Radio Shack sells them anymore. They're getting out of the niche electronics business and into the everybody electronics business, which I think is a mistake. because there's competition from a lot of people in that space, but not so much competition in the, oh, I need an LED today space. But that's an aside. So find out whether you've got a straight through or a null modem cable. Find out what's on each end, and then you can order that either through Amazon or through one of the other services that I've mentioned. Monoprice is one place I'd look as well. So, I hate it when my phone buzzes. That's why I normally put it on the ground while I'm doing these shoes. Okay. Somehow I must have misplaced who asked me this, but the following questions are all from churchmedia.net. So someone asked, self-hosted Dropbox alternative? Just curious. Is anyone using something like SparkleShare.org instead of Dropbox or any other file storage sync sharing alternatives? One of the main reasons I like Dropbox is that it uses a differential sync, so if a large file changes, it does not need to upload, download the whole file. As far as I know, Dropbox is one of the few that do that. Okay, good point. Dropbox is easy, and they're good at what they do. In fact, there's speculation that Apple ought to buy them since Apple isn't great at cloud services. So that's some stuff to keep in mind. But there are alternatives. There's BitTorrent Sync. You could actually roll your own if you put a script and rsync in place with some mapped internet drives. So it's possible to do. There are other services. You mentioned SparkleShare. I'm not familiar with them, but they would work. I think I'd be curious what you're trying to accomplish. Is it that you're trying to save money? Then maybe there's an alternative. If you're trying to find a better alternative, right now I just don't know of any. Okay? Next question. Single camera to nursing room / digital signage. We are building a new lobby that will have several digital signage screens and we'll have a nursing room. Cry room is probably what he means. Family care. Something like that. Before the service, we will use the screens to show announcements, etc. No problem. Once the service begins, we want to stream the services to these screens. Our digital signage will handle live streams. We currently have a single camera that sits near our sound booth. We also have an iMac. We are not at the point where we want to buy new cameras and a switcher, etc., but we may at some point in the future. My thoughts to get this feed to those streams: Blackmagic Ultra Studio Thunderbolt to pull in the video stream. Use Wirecast on iMac for creating stream. As long as digital signage, Geffen DSC, is on the same work, this should be able to stream to them. Does this sound like it will work? It seems too simple to me, but it probably is. My biggest concern is latency. Anytime you're doing video over a network, you're looking at a delay of either enough to be annoying or enough to be really freak you out annoying. So either it's going to be delayed by a piece of a second and it's going to feel a little echoey, or it's going to be delayed by up to a couple of seconds, depending on how you do it. It sounds, initially I read this as you were planning on streaming to the internet. I'm not sure if Wirecast can stream within the network unless, I guess just double check the settings on what the Geffen DSC needs, because if it's basically a streaming server within your network, it's possible you'd just set it up and it would work fine, except for, as I say, latency, because you're going to have some ingest latency of getting the video into the system, and then some encoding latency, and then some streaming. Even though it's within the network and should be pretty quick, still there's going to be some latency, and that could feel maddening to you, especially if the cry room, nursing room, whatever you call it, has a shared window where they can see the stage. They can see the stage, and then part of a second to much later, it shows up. That's going to be really annoying. So that's my biggest concern. Peterite, again, on churchmedia.net, asks, buy, rent, video streaming appliance. We have a two-day conference coming up that we'd like to video stream. We're not currently video streaming, but it's definitely in our future. For the purposes of this conference, I thought the quickest, easiest solution would be to rent a video streaming appliance like a ViewCast Niagara, GoStream, or a Digital Rapids TouchStream. Anyone know where I could rent one in South Carolina? I don't. Anyone have any other devices they would recommend? We'll be feeding it 720p HDSDI, could feed it component HD if necessary. We're on the fastest cable internet package Time Warner offers. My initial thought was to send the feed to Livestream for propagation. All thoughts welcome. Well, later on, he points out that he found the Livestream solution, which is $495 to buy it, and thought, well, this might be a good plan. I'm a little concerned about that because if Livestream jacks up their prices and you say, oh, this is too expensive and you want to switch, you can't. If they go out of business, that money is wasted. If they start putting ads on your services, which are things that you can't agree with, that money's wasted. So there are a lot of possibilities for why I wouldn't want to be locked into a single service. The company that makes Teradek, I'm blanking on what the name of their system is, they make a streaming appliance, which is about $700. You could also get Wirecast for $500 plus your PC, or you could do Adobe Flash Media Live Encoder plus the PC for free. FMLE, Flash Media Live Encoder, works fine, and there are a lot of professional systems that use it. So I think that's what I would start with. Nothing wrong with the streaming appliance. The one that I mentioned works well. Even a TriCaster is a good streaming appliance. I mean, I'm always concerned about using basically a Windows PC with software on it. But a lot of people use them and like them. I know that I've run into problems on occasion where I need to reboot Wirecast after I've started, and that doesn't make me happy. So that's the downside of some of these software solutions, is that you end up needing to restart, and that's problematic. So I guess that's what I would say as concerns that I would have. Probably wouldn't get something that requires a specific system. So let's see here. HD streaming, W. Clement 7 asks, hello all, looking for some advice on computer requirements for HD streaming at 720p. Currently running HDSDI into a Blackmagic Decklink PCIe card using FMLE streaming to church casting, 10 megabits upload through cable internet. We have an Intel dual-core PC with 8 gigs of RAM running at like 2.4 gigahertz that so far uses 50% CPU just to display the HD signal on the monitor through FMLE, then uses 100% CPU and 4 to 5 gigs of RAM when streaming. I can get a clean stream signal down below 500 kilobits per second at 480 by 270, no frame drops, etc. If I go above that, though, I am dropping anywhere from 5 to 20 frames a second. I'm trying to find out how many cores RAM I need to stream at 720p and 480p for mobile. I've looked at an 8-core AMD CPU and motherboard. Is 8 cores enough? What about a 16-core server with the PCIe slot? Is this even possible, such as a Dell PowerEdge R900? Anyone with experience and advice is greatly appreciated. Thanks. Well, there, not only does speed matter, but architecture matters. So a multi-core machine that's a Intel Core Duo is going to be much slower running at the same clock rate as an i7, for example. So even if I can't remember off the top of my head if there's like an upper end Core Duo that has the same clock speed as a low-end i7. But the example still remains. So the architecture that you're using matters. So just saying it's multi-core doesn't tell us everything that we need to know. Because I don't think you said actually... Oh yeah, you did say dual-core. So the threading matters on the software that you're using, and off the top of my head, I can't remember if FMLE is optimized for that, but that at least matters. So, with that said, I think I would like to know what you're using before I could recommend where you need to go. Because sometimes throwing extra cores at something isn't going to do the job if the clock speed is off. Sometimes going with a faster architecture is better than the same clock speed. So as an example, back in the day, like back in 2000, back when the internet was young, in 2000... You can tell I've been listening to The School of Podcasting by Dave Jackson. He does that all the time. Anyway, way back in the day, I had a 500 megahertz, I know, really slow, but this was, you know, like 13, 14 years ago, 500 megahertz G3 iBook. They also sold 500 megahertz G4 PowerBooks. I looked at 500 and 500 and said, this one is so much cheaper. 500 equals 500, I'm going to go with the cheaper one. It served me well for years, but it was not the same because the architecture was different. So that piece of the puzzle matters. So that's basically how I asked him. Let's see here. I haven't pre-read this one, but I am going to go ahead and read it live now because I think that I can answer it. No, I don't think that that's a good question. Sorry. Sorry for the delay as I skimmed it and realized it's probably not a good question for me to answer. So, those are all the questions that we have for this week. I'd love for you to contact me directly, either with going to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. Where you can find all my contact information, hitting me up on Twitter, Paul Allen Cliff. You can even go to my Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TrinityDigitalMedia, and ask me questions there. Any of those are permissible ways to contact me. Basically, if you can get a hold of me, I'd love to hear from you. So until next week, I hope that all this information has been helpful to you as you go out and change eternity. This is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.